Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
You know, this idea that cathedrals were actually giant power plants is so wild. When you first hear it, it sounds, I don't know, absurd. But then you dig deeper into the architectural complexities and some of the science behind it, and it makes you stop and think. When you walk into a Gothic cathedral, you feel something. Not spiritually, electromagnetically. Your body knows it before your mind does. The hair on your forearms rises. Your phone battery drains faster than it should. Scientists call this the Schumann resonance effect, 7.83 hertz, the Earth's own heartbeat, amplified and focused by stone. And for 500 years, we've been told it's just architecture, just stone, just faith. But what if the builders knew something we forgot? This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
The first thing they don't teach you in history class is that Gothic cathedrals were built during a very specific window, roughly 1150 to 1500 CE, and then almost immediately the architectural style stopped. Vanished. Not because fashion changed. Nope. Because the knowledge that powered them was classified. And I don't mean that metaphorically. Look at Notre Dame de Chartres. Finished in 1220. Built with 9,000 tons of stone. Arranged in a geometric pattern so precise that when surveyed in 1990, the deviation was less than 1 millimeter across a 130 meter structure. 1 millimeter. Heck, your iPhone is less accurate than that. So you are to believe that a medieval mason with hand tools did this. And why, you may ask? Why so precise? Because precision matters when you're building an energy conductor, when you're stacking stone that resonates at specific frequencies. Modern capacitors work on layered principles, alternating dielectric materials separated by conductive plates. Notre Dame de Chartres has 176 stained glass windows. Each one is mineral-based. Each one is a dielectric layer. What about the lead in those beautiful window frames? It's conductive. And the stone itself? All. Quartz-rich limestone from Berchere, a geological anomaly that conducts piezoelectric current under pressure. Oh? And you're not supposed to notice any of this. Medieval records call the master builders. The Companions of the Duty, a guild so secretive that membership was hereditary and oath-bound. They traveled across Europe building these structures, and they left coded measurements. But they weren't the only secret keepers. The Knights Templar, who funded and supervised the construction of at least 7 major Gothic cathedrals, including Notre Dame de Chartres, were simultaneously the financiers and the custodians of this architectural knowledge. Bernard of Clairvaux, the monk who wrote the Templar Rule and personally commissioned the Gothic cathedral program in the 12th century, describe the proportions of sacred space in terms that sound less like theology and more like engineering specifications. The proportions aren't random. The golden ratio isn't just aesthetic. It's a frequency multiplier. The same ratio appears in modern antenna design. The same ratio appears in Tesla's notes on resonance technology. And the Companions knew it because they had inherited blueprints that trace back to somewhere we're not supposed to ask about. Here's where it gets uncomfortable. These cathedrals are still broadcasting. In 2011, researchers at Stanford, led by a team from the Center for Computer Research in Music and Acoustics, placed frequency meters inside Salisbury Cathedral and detected electromagnetic pulses at 7.83 hertz, the Schumann resonance. That's the Earth's natural frequency. That's also the frequency the human brain enters during deep meditation. During REM sleep, during moments of spiritual ecstasy. Coincidence? The cathedral isn't just receiving this frequency, it's amplifying it, transmitting it, creating a localized field that alters consciousness in everyone inside. And you've been inside one, you've felt calm in a space designed to make you calm. You've prayed harder in a building because it was engineered to make you pray harder. The term they used was resonance chambers. We call them naves. And the mechanism is something modern physics now has a name for: cymatics. The study of how sound frequency creates visible, physical form. When you vibrate a metal plate at specific frequencies, sand arranges itself into precise geometric patterns, the same patterns carved into cathedral floors as labyrinths and rose windows. The builders weren't decorating, they were mapping the frequencies the structure was designed to generate. Now, here's what gets buried in academic footnotes. Between 1348 and 1353, the Black Death killed roughly 75 million people in Europe. That was about a third of the population. But the building accelerated. Cathedral construction didn't stop. Nope, it sped up. Why would a civilization ravaged by plague suddenly invest more resources in massive stone structures? Unless those structures served a purpose beyond the spiritual, unless they were being built as a network, connected by ley lines, geometric alignments that are measurable, proven, and consistently run under major cathedrals across three continents. We have satellite data on this now, but you won't find it in a museum placard. But the architectural evidence is buried in plain sight. Take the ribbed vault, the distinctive feature of Gothic design that appears nowhere before 1150 and everywhere after. It's not structural. Modern engineering has proven that. The same cathedral can stand with or without those ribs. So why are they there? Because they're designed to direct energy flow. They're electromagnetic conduits. In cross-section, they mirror the behavior of a Faraday cage, except inverted. Instead of protecting an interior space from external fields, they amplify external fields and concentrate them at focal points, the altar, the chancel. Places where people gather in high emotional states. Emotional states generate measurable electromagnetic fields. Your heart produces a field 60 times stronger than your brain. When 1,000 people pray in unison, all generating electrical impulses at the same frequency, in a space engineered to amplify that frequency, you've created a Leyden jar at architectural scale, a capacitor bank storing charge generated by human consciousness itself. And the priesthood, the only ones allowed to understand the architecture, was the interface. They were managing a technology they couldn't acknowledge because they'd taken an oath. The proof is in the names they gave things. Sacred geometry, not holy geometry, sacred, from the Latin sacrum, meaning to charge or to energize. The word itself is a confession. But here's where the official story falls apart. Cathedrals require constant maintenance, constant funding. Yet somehow, nearly every major cathedral in Europe required reconstruction in the 1700s and 1800s, and when they were rebuilt, the plans changed, subtly but measurably. The precision disappeared. The mineral composition of the stone became less specific. The geometric ratios shifted. We know who made these changes. His name was Eugène Viollet-le-Duc, the French architect who led the Gothic Revival movement and personally oversaw the restoration of Notre Dame de Paris, Carcassonne, and dozens of other major sites between 1840 and 1879. Viollet-le-Duc was brilliant. He documented medieval construction techniques better than anyone before or since. But in his restorations, the original geometric ratios were replaced with aesthetically similar but functionally different proportions. It's as though someone with intimate knowledge of how these structures worked had decided they should no longer function as originally designed, and they methodically altered every major one. The Industrial Revolution happened in exactly that window, 1760 to 1840. Right when cathedral modifications accelerated. Right when centralized power generation became possible. Do you see the pattern? A technology that was decentralized, localized to sacred spaces, managed by autonomous guilds, suddenly it was centralized, moved into power plants, put put under state control, and the cathedrals were converted into museums, into tourist attractions, into historical monuments that were taught to admire but never to question. Because if people knew what cathedrals really were, they'd ask why we dismantled a free energy system. They'd ask who made that decision. They'd ask what happened to the knowledge. The final layer, the one they really don't want you to see, is that cathedral builders didn't invent this technology. Nope, they inherited it. The architectural principles appear in structures that predate them by thousands of years. The Great Pyramid's chambers have electromagnetic properties. The dimensions of the King's Chamber match the resonance frequency of quartz crystal. Göbekli Tepe, built 11,500 years ago, has T-shaped pillars arranged in a pattern that mirrors modern semiconductor arrays. And then there's Coral Castle in Florida. Built in the early 20th century by Edward Leedskalnin, a single man who moved 1,100 tons of coral rock alone by night and refused to explain how. He claimed to have rediscovered the secrets of the pyramid builders. He left behind writings about magnetic current that read like a field manual for exactly the kind of piezoelectric resonance technology the cathedral builders were using. We keep finding evidence of an ancient knowledge system, one that understood frequency, energy, and consciousness as unified principles, and we keep calling it coincidence. The buildings aren't just monuments. They're libraries. They're instruction manuals built in stone, and every generation is forgetting how to read them. What happens when a society rejects the technology its ancestors left behind? It becomes dependent. It becomes controllable. You trade a world where energy is free and decentralized for one where it's metered, monitored, and controlled by whoever holds the infrastructure. You trade the ability to generate power locally, in your village, in your city, in your home, for the privilege of paying for it monthly, forever. And the cathedral builders understood this choice so well that they built their message into stone, into geometry that can't be erased, into proportions that will outlast any textbook revision. They were betting that someday someone would look at these buildings with fresh eyes. Someone would measure them. Someone would compare them to what we now know about energy and resonance. And someone would ask the question we're supposed to never ask, what if we were lied to about what we were looking at? The trap is this. If cathedrals were power plants, then your ancestors were more technologically advanced than you've been told. Which means the narrative of progress is false. Which means someone has been controlling the information about our own history. And if they've been wrong about that, what else have they lied about? Where does it stop? That's the discomfort. That's why the research stays fragmented. That's why the evidence isn't compiled in one place. Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you walk into a cathedral knowing what it actually is, you're no longer innocent. You're complicit in a civilization that tore down its own power source. Your ancestors built something they knew you'd need. You demolished it for comfort. Others hide it for profit. This has been Some Unapproved Thinking. Tracy, out.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring Some Unapproved Thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out, and next time, we're going deeper.